So Jesus' last words, what was he saying? His last words are our mandate. It's actually his will for us. His final charge, his final command to his followers. Have you ever thought about God's will? Right? We think about it. I think we ask the question quite often, what is God's will for my life? Has anybody in here ever asked that question? Right? Yes. What is God's will for my life? We wonder that. We often ask that question, and it could be situational. It could be in this moment, in this season, God, what is your will for me? It could be big picture, God, what is your will for my life? But to be quite simple, to keep it very just cut and dry, God's will for our life is found in his last words. It's in the Great Commission, because it's not only his last words, but it is his will for you and for me, for each and every one of his followers, not just the 11 that were standing there when he gave this final command. So are we paying attention? Because Jesus' last words are coming to us now. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. These are Jesus' final words to his disciples. And what does he begin with? He begins with telling his followers of his authority. Jesus is saying here, all authority has been given to me. He is declaring that he is king. He is in charge. He is the authority. He is actually the risen king. The last time that his followers saw him, many of them, it was when he was hanging dead on the cross. And now he is standing alive, risen in front of them, saying, all authority has been given to me. There is no other. I am the King of Kings. I am the risen King. And so now he's about to command his people to give this final charge, but he's doing it as the authority-holding king. He has all authority given to him by God. Now, we've been, for the last several months, studying through the book of Matthew, and it's interesting to note that the entire book focuses on kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. It's talking about the good news that the king has been, the king that was promised in the Old Testament has come. The king is here. There's all of this kingdom language in Matthew. So why does it matter here in Jesus' last words? Why does he focus on this all authority has been given to me? At the beginning of Matthew, we see the power of the king. We see his power over everything, over the enemy, over the darkness in the world, over sin, and over death. At the beginning of Matthew, we see the king, Jesus, calling his disciples because he knows he's establishing his kingdom. And all through the life of King Jesus on earth, those 3 years of intentional ministry, we see the king with authority, with power, with wisdom and mercy and love. And now finally today, we see the commission of the king. The king says, I have been given all authority. And from that place and position of authority and power, I have a call for you. Will you listen to the king? I like this image of a king because with it comes a level of understanding of position, of power, and of authority. I love it, especially here in Canada, because whether, however you feel about the monarchy, we have a, do we have a king on our money yet? Okay, we have a king on our money. That's incredible. I should have known that. When I became a citizen of Canada, which was just a couple of years ago, I swore my oath to king and country. So I have a very clear understanding. There is something significant here of me becoming a Canadian citizen, that there is a king that is in power in some weird, mysterious way that no Canadian really understands. But that there's someone out there with authority. There's someone out there greater than me. When the king speaks, we listen. For Jesus' disciples, they are standing before their risen king. He is not hanging dead on a cross. He is alive, which was impossible. And yet there he stands with all authority. His position of authority was sealed. It was cemented because of his victory over death. So when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me," they got it. They understood. This was not some earthly king. This was not merely some man who had some good teachings, did some good stuff. This was the king of all kings, the only king to listen to. Church, are we listening to the king today? What did he say? He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So that those words, that is the command. That is the will of God for your life. It is the command of the King of Kings. And when we read those words, especially if it's your first time reading those words, it seems like a lot. And perhaps if it's not your first time, but you've read or heard these words many times, we can almost gloss over it. Yeah, I can quote that scripture. Yeah, I know what it says. Would we pay attention to the words? For those who feel like, man, that's a lot, like teaching them, baptizing them, going, all this stuff that I'm supposed to do, teaching all the commands, that's a lot. I don't know how to do that. But it's actually not as complicated as it seems. Because in the Great Commission, there's actually just one central command in these words. And the central command that we see in the Great Commission is this: make disciples. Make disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, a follower. Very simply put, a disciple is one who follows you, who follows your leading, your teaching, your example, your words. In the Bible, we talk about the disciples who were standing there as Jesus is giving these words. Why were they disciples? Because they were followers of Jesus. They learned from him. They watched him do what he did. A disciple is one who follows. A disciple is one who watches your life, who learns from you. They disciple after you. And so our command from the king, the command that was given to the first disciples and now to us, is this: make disciples. Help people follow Jesus. Help people to learn about Jesus. Help people to learn Jesus' ways, to learn his teachings. Help people to follow Jesus. Now that sounds great, right? It's this kind of big picture, where I'm supposed to make disciples. But how do I do it? Let's get practical. Lizzie, how do I actually make a disciple? Because I'm busy. I have a life. I have a job. I have a million children. What do I do to make disciples? It tells us in these verses. The first command, the first way that we make disciples, Jesus says, is this: go. Go. In order to make disciples, you have to go. There has to be movement. We cannot just stay in our seats, but we are meant to go out. That is the first step. Even the disciples here, they had to be reminded of this command. It was literally Jesus' first words in his last words. He said, go. And in Acts, at the beginning of Acts, where it's retelling and giving us a bit more detail about this encounter that they had, it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, that angels appeared. Jesus has already gone up to heaven. And what are the disciples doing? Standing, looking at the clouds. Hey, Jesus, where'd you go? And the angel came and said, why are you standing here with your heads in the clouds? I love that verse. Why are you still here? Did you not hear Jesus' last words? He said, go. Jesus commanded them, and he commands us to go. So where do we go? Some go to the furthest corners of the earth. And others go to Superstore. And both are important, and both are needed, because both places have people who need to know about Jesus. Some go to Belize, and others go to their office on Monday morning. Both are important. The point is, both require going. Both require movement. See, if we stay here, if we stay in the church, if we stay in our comfort zone, because that's what this is, it's comfortable, it's safe. If we stay here, then we are missing the first part of the mandate to make disciples. If we never go, we cannot make disciples. I want you to think about this illustration for a moment. If the church and the Great Commission were a basketball game, okay, that's where we're what we're imagining, a basketball game. If it was a basketball game, you do not win a basketball game by only having timeouts. Okay, right? Let's have a timeout, everyone. Come on, let's go. We're going to talk strategy. We're going to lay out some plays. We're going to say, this is what we're supposed to do. You go here, you go there. We're going to talk about how to beat the opponent. Man, that opponent out there, they're fierce. I bet if we do this, we might be able to beat them. You know what? We need a good, strong cheer. That'll really get us going. Let's have a strong cheer. And we do all that. And then, go team. And we sit down on the bench. The game will never be won just because you had a good timeout. If we don't get onto the court, we will not win the game. The whole point of the timeout is to get encouraged, to get jazzed up so that we could go back on the court and we can do what we're meant to do. We can play ball. For us, if we only gather here on Sunday mornings, if we have our good strategy talks, right? If we have some really good cheers that really get us going, I mean, we're clapping, we're singing praise, we're like up and out of our seats. We talk about how to beat the opponent. But when we say go team, if we just sit back down, we're missing the point. The goal is for us, the command is for us to go out from Monday to Saturday, to get into the court of life, which is your workplace. It's your family, it's your friends, it's your schools, it's your neighborhoods, it's your grocery stores, and make disciples. It's kind of a funny picture because oftentimes we do a pre-morning prayer, and at the end of it, and I don't know why, I think it's the American cheerleader inside of me, but at the end, I often say, go team. Because I love that. Like, let's go and do what God has called us to do. But friends, if we hear this exciting message and we get all like, yes, I'm energized, I'm ready, but then all we do is go and kind of live life as normal and then come back for our next time out next Sunday, we get all, yeah, let's go. And then we go out just kind of a normal week, come back the following Sunday. We're missing the point. His command is go. The next part of the command to make disciples, he says, baptize and teach everything Jesus commanded. Again, this feels like a lot. Baptize and teach everything that Jesus commanded. I don't even know everything that Jesus commanded. How am I supposed to teach others about everything that Jesus commanded? This can seem and feel a bit overwhelming. It seems like perhaps it's too hard for us to do because I'm still learning. If you feel that way this morning, I have encouragement for you. Because some of the greatest disciple makers are the ones who still consider themselves disciples. If you feel like you've arrived, I'm no longer a disciple, I'm just a disciple maker, you're missing it. Because what disciples do is they make other disciples. We never outgrow our being a disciple. We are always following someone. We are always learning from someone. We are always emulating someone. And I hope that that someone's name is Jesus Christ. But as we follow him, as we are his disciple, we have the honor and the privilege. It is a command. It is an imperative that we bring others along, that we disciple others. We are all still on the journey of following Jesus. So how do we disciple others? We teach them what we know. You don't know it all? Great. Neither do I. What do you know about Jesus? Teach that. Several weeks ago in our first discipleship class here at the church, in our planted class, we were teaching how to read the Bible and to journal. And it was this really beautiful time where everyone got out some paper and some pens and began to walk through this process of journaling what they learned from the Word of God. And the next week, there were some new people who joined the group who weren't here for that lesson. And one of our guys who was there who had learned it went up to Tyler and said, hey, Tyler, this guy over here doesn't know how to do this. Could you get that sheet of paper and show him how to do it? And Tyler went, got the sheet of paper that had the instructions, gave it to the one who had asked, and then stood back and watched. And the most beautiful thing happened as this one took that sheet of paper, walked over to the new one, and said, this is what I learned last week. It changed my life. I want you to know how to do it. Let me show you how. You know what that was? Discipleship. Right there. Teaching what you know about Jesus. I've got goosebumps like from head to toe right now because that excites me. When we catch what Jesus is doing and we're like, this has transformed my life. Jesus has transformed my life. I can't wait to tell the next person about who he is and what he has done. That's what it's all about. Go and make disciples. Tell them what you know of Jesus. How did he change your life? What did he do? What did he accomplish on the cross? Why does it matter? Why does it matter to you? And why should it matter to them? So you don't have to know everything, but you are meant to share what you know. Will it be messy? Probably. Great. It was messy with Jesus and his first disciples. One of them betrayed him. It wasn't perfect, but it was right and it was good and it was necessary. And he taught and people came along. The Great Commission, your mission is that disciples will become disciple makers who will make disciple makers who will make more disciple makers. Disciples making disciples. And finally, what Jesus does in the Great Commission, the King with all this authority, he gives us an encouragement. Just when we feel like, whoa, that's a lot, I'm not sure I can do it, I hear I need to go, I hear I need to make disciples, Jesus gives us this encouragement. He says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. I am with you always. I am with you always and forever. We do not fulfill the Great Commission on our own. In fact, I would say that we cannot fulfill the Great Commission on our own because we need our King. We need the Holy Spirit. We need our Emmanuel moving in us and through us as we go out. Jesus' name is Emmanuel. It means God with us. It was actually the name given to Jesus at the beginning of the book of Matthew. That's where we read that he is God with us. He is with us and he is in us to do the work that he has called us to do. What do most kings do? Most earthly kings. Most earthly kings give a command. They tell you to go and to do something, and then what does the king do? Goes back and sits on their throne. Not our king. Our king gives a command and then goes with us. We do not do it alone. I want you to take that to heart. I want you to think about this for a moment, that the King of Kings goes with you tomorrow. As you walk into your office. That the King of Kings goes with you tomorrow as you walk into your school. That the King of Kings goes with you tomorrow as you talk with family or with friends. And I think if we knew that the King of Kings went with us, we would perhaps feel more bold. More comforted, more secure, more assured in making disciples because the one who commanded us to go is with us when we do it. He is Emmanuel, God with us. There is authority with him by our side. All authority has been given to me, Jesus says. So go and make disciples. By the way, I'm with you always. The King is with you. Worship team, you can come. In the Message version of the Bible, I love actually how they write the end of verse 28, or of Matthew chapter 28. It says this, I will be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age. Day after day after day, morning after morning, when you wake up, Emmanuel, God is with you. My King is with me. The King is with you. So this week, the mission for you is the same that it was for Jesus' first disciples. It is go, make disciples, and know that I am with you. Go make disciples. I am with you. These were the final words of Jesus to his disciples. Are we listening today as we hear those words? Are we listening with open ears and open hearts? Whether it's the first time that we've heard it or we've heard it many times, are we listening and believing that our King goes with us? Jesus stood before his disciples in authority as King. So when he spoke these words, you know what they could do? They could listen to the words and they could say, yes, I believe. I'm going to take you at your word because you're standing here with all power and all authority. If you've said it, I will believe it and I will walk out and I will do what you have told me to do. Friends, this is the command for us today. God has said it. Do you believe it? Will we take him at his word and do what he has called us to do? They could trust Jesus when he said he would be with them. You and I can trust Jesus. We can know that he goes with us. They could believe that they could continue on in ministry, in the mission of being disciples by making disciples, continuing to make more and more disciples. They knew that they could do that because Jesus was with them. So, church, I want to encourage us this week, starting today, we break out of this time out and we go and we make disciples. We say, yes, Jesus said it. I believe it. It's in his word. I'm going to do it. Let's go. Would you pray with me? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, God, that we can hear your words. We can take them to heart. We can believe them, and then we can step into action. Lord, you've said it. We believe it, and we will do it. God, thank you for your promise that you are with us and that you go with us. You are our King of kings. You are the one who stands with all authority and all power. And we know and we trust that you go with us. What a great King we have. So today, thank you for your word. We hear it, we receive it, and we will respond to it in faith with you. In Jesus' name, amen.